Well, good afternoon, fellow constitutionalists, and welcome to the Free For All Friday edition of the Dan Clements Show, a Christian political talk show. I'm your host, Dan Clements, your constitutional warrior, fighting for your right just to be an American. It is January 12th in the year of our Lord, 2018, and remember, we're a hyphen-free, PC-free zone. God is still in control, and He does love you, and I'm broadcasting live from the Hemlock Studios here in beautiful central Susquehanna Valley in the great Keystone State, and boy, is it warm up here, folks. It is almost muggy outside. Now, if you were trying to watch the show here on the live feed, it blew right past my mind, because when I do video editing on the same computer that I set up the broadcast on, I have to turn the mic off on the OBS so I don't get echoes back when I'm listening to things. And I forgot to turn the dumb thing back on. I have to put a note up there, make sure your mic's on, on OBS. Oh, folks, I have a good show set up for you today. It's entitled, Twitter is Censoring the Town Square. And this is something, this Project Veritas has done this past couple days. They've let these videos out, and they've really taken Twitter to task on this kind of stuff. And I'm just wondering, at what point conservatives on Twitter are just going to get fed up there. Now, I know a lot of conservatives on Twitter, that's the only place they are. That is absolutely the only place they are. I know folks that on YouTube, that YouTube's the only place they post their videos. And I know people on Facebook, that's the only platform that they use. And I remember the old adage, you don't put all your eggs into one basket. And it's true when it was first coined, was when that phrase was first thought up, and it's still true today. I mean, look at the Enron employees that had all their retirement invested in Enron. Enron went belly up, and guess what? People didn't have a retirement anymore because they weren't diversified. So if you're relying on social media for your livelihood, you need to get diversified. I was on a platform called VidMe a long time ago, and they went, I don't know what happened to them. I thought they were going very well, except I think some of their practices, before you get verified or stuff like that, you had to have 50 followers. But in order to get 50 followers, you had to do everything manual to get your videos promoted on VidMe and everything like that. And it was, for a guy just starting out on videos, the followership has slowly come along, but it's not up to 50. Now, I did email them and said, you know, I do podcast these episodes also, the audio off of these videos, and I have, you know, anywhere from, on average, at the time I was talking to them, I had over 500 listeners a day, on average. But they're like, well, that's not video. And I'm like, you know, and I even told them, I said, well, I said at the time, I said, I don't think this is going to work out for you guys, but okay, I'll try to get my video watches up so I can get on there. So that may have been part of it, because there was a lot of other people besides me that were actually complaining about that. But if you look, if you're on YouTube, I know the guys that are on podcast can't see this, but on YouTube, this is my social media slide. Mine's BitChute and Gab AI across the top of the screen. Now, I'm on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, Patreon, and Pinterest. So I'm on 9 different social media sites where I post things. I'm not real active on Instagram, although I do put some memes and stuff up on Instagram and Pinterest. That's mainly on those two when I create a meme or I create a thumbnail for my videos and stuff. I'll go over and put those on, and I need to get caught up on some of that. But Minds is a Facebook alternative. BitChute is a YouTube alternative, and let me tell you something. BitChute is really, really growing by leaps and bounds. And then Gab AI is a Twitter replacement. Now, Gab AI and Minds, they both cross over between Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, there's a couple features on Gab that are also on Minds and vice versa. And so you could use either one. You could use Gab to replace Facebook and Twitter, or you could use Minds to do the same thing. I use both, because I look at Minds as more of a Facebook replacement and Gab AI as a more Twitter replacement, just the way they work and they're structured in that. And again, like I said, BitChute is a YouTube alternative. So I'm diversified. And the reason why I'm diversified is because there's too many regressives across the fruited plain, and we'll see this in Twitter. And I'm going to show you a couple two-minute clips or so, not back-to-back, but I'll show them to you. We'll talk about the one, and we'll show you the other one here after I get things going here. But there's too many regressives in Twitter, and at one point, on one of the videos, the gentleman says that there's like between 99% of the folks that work at Twitter do not like the Republicans or Trump or conservatism, anything. And in the first one we're going to show you when we get to it, they're actually cooperating with the DOJ on all the accounts that are tied with Donald J. Trump. Anybody in your campaign, any of the siblings that are working with President Trump, they're cooperating with the DOJ, and I was trying to read in the synopsis and the article with that video, and I didn't see in there, and I'll reread it just to make sure I didn't miss it. I didn't see anywhere in there where Twitter was working off of a warrant from the Department of Justice. So that could be a problem there. But the reason why I titled my show Twitter Censoring the Town Square, and this is where I know some lawyers are saying we don't have a solid foot to stand on. However, and that's the vast majority of lawyers I've heard, but I've also heard a couple other lawyers that specialize in freedom of speech, where Twitter is making its money off of free speech. And yes, they are a private company, just like YouTube is a private company owned by Alphabet and Google, whoever. They're all private companies, but they make their living off of the town square. And if they make their living off the town square, then certain rules should apply in that town square, and that would be freedom of speech that isn't censored. That conservatives are de-verified on Twitter. We'll stick with Twitter mostly today. I've tried 3 times to get my show verified on Twitter, and haven't even got a courtesy email back saying why they're not giving me a verification on Twitter. I go over to Gab AI, and I'm automatically, you know, I'm actually pro over at Gab AI, and I'm verified already. Same way with Minds. As soon as I haven't gone pro with Minds, but I'm going to do that this week. As soon as I go pro with Minds, I'm verified that I am who I am. I, as Popeye said, I am what I am. Anyway. And Twitter just, excuse me, Twitter just absolutely refuses to verify my show account. And they won't even, I even try to get my personal account verified that I am the Dan Clements. I know there's a lot of other Dan Clementses out there, but I am the Dan Clements. I'm the numero uno Dan Clements, okay? And so there's a problem with Twitter. And Project Veritas is actually bringing this out, that there's a problem with Twitter. There's a problem with the ideology that's inside of Twitter. There's a problem with regressives that actually work at Facebook and that are on Facebook and also on Twitter. There's a huge problem with these folks. They can usually say or do anything they want. They never get strikes. They don't get blocked. They don't get tweets taken down. Nothing like that. But let a conservative step outside of what the regressives at both of those companies think should be appropriate, and you know, they just cry bloody murder about it. And I've actually been suspended on Facebook once, and they never did tell me why I was suspended. I got a 10-day suspension on Facebook. And they never told me. All it was something that I shared or something I said didn't follow the terms of service or community standards on Facebook. And I when I got back on there, I went back through. I've even asked some of my friends, not my antagonists, but my friends, did you see anything on here? And I had a couple of them go back through my timeline, you know, for a week or so. They said they went back through and they didn't see anything that should have got me tagged. The only thing I can think of, and this happens far too often on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, where you can get a strike on any of those anonymously, and you have no recourse to rebut what's going on. You have no recourse whatsoever. The other day, I had a short video on the Vermilion Parish School Board meeting that I put out, and I got a copyright strike on that. And all it told me was the copyright complainant is a company called Storyful, Storyful. And I tried to look them up online, and there's a bunch of different entries. And so I only had two clips in there. One was from a private vlogger. And I even asked him, I sent him a direct message on YouTube, and he hasn't gotten back with me yet. I used a couple minutes of his clip, and then I used a couple minutes of KTAC, or KATC3 down in Abbotville, or actually they're out of Lafayette, but they broadcast in Abbotville, or Abbeville, which where this school district is. And I got an answer back from the young lady fairly quickly, and she said, we don't use a company that name. She seemed to know who they are, but she didn't have any information about them. I said, we don't have a company of that name, because I told her, I said, I used like a minute or so clip of them talking to the, you know, I explained the clips I used, and she says, well, this is a news outlet. We wouldn't, unless you claimed it for your own, and you know, I told her I didn't, you know, I said everybody got due credit. It was actually, I didn't block anything out on the video or anything, and they seemed to me, KATC didn't have any problem with me, you know, having a couple minutes of clips here and there on the video. But I can't find out who this Storyful is. I was told by somebody that they used to be able to direct message these folks. Well, you can't do that anymore. And so I don't know who Storyful is. I asked for a review and told them that, you know, I told them about the clips, and to come back, the Storyful denied my review. And I'm like, well, who's supposed to be reviewing this, YouTube or Storyful? So again, the processes that these Facebook and Twitter and YouTube set up are slanted. You can't face your accusers. You can't find out who the one. I mean, anybody could put honestly, folks, anybody could go out there on YouTube, as far as I'm concerned, and claim a copyright claim against you. And how can you investigate it? How can the producer or I'm a partner with YouTube, how can I investigate that? I can't. Same way with Facebook, I can't investigate that. Same way with Twitter. And Twitter's doing some things that are so underhanded, as far as I'm concerned, it should be criminal what they're doing when we get into the videos. And this whole mindset goes back to this gentleman that I've been talking with all week on Facebook. This guy is a regressive. If you looked up, and I don't have a picture of the guy, but if you looked up regressive in the dictionary, it'd have his picture next to it. Every single ideology that he puts out in this thread, I disagree with, but I give objective standards to why I disagree with it. Everything he put on the thread was everything was how he felt about this, or how you should feel, how compassionate you should be, all this kind of stuff. Everything was so subjective on his side. Why we should do this or why we should do that, and his pronouncements against me, the name calling, the profanity against me, was all subjective. These people do not live in an objective world. They do not live, and matter of fact, I think most of them wouldn't know objective truth if I walked up and slapped them. So how do you deal with folks like that? Now, my wife said, you shouldn't even talk to him. I said, honey, I said, I am talking to him. I said, do you know why? I said, because steel sharpens steel. Okay, of course, I don't consider these regressives too much steel. They're more like a soapstone or soft stone that I'm just getting the dull edge off of my sword. But it helps me to formulate my arguments better. It helps me to in my responses to other folks. So I use these conversations as practice. And I don't personally attack the people. I call them out when they start using profanity. And it just, the use of profanity on social media is just ridiculous, especially by grown men, and also women too. And this one guy was trying to explain to me how, well, you know, use the profanity when you're debating and talking actually shows a sign of intelligence. And he showed me some sketchy research on this. And I'm like, okay, the research says maybe. But to me, I think a real gentleman, a real man, doesn't have to use profanity to get his point across. Doesn't have to use profanity to puff his chest up to say how tough I am. Real men don't do that. Real men are real men. You know, as a matter of fact, most of these, I was actually called a snowflake in this thread on Facebook because I told him, I said, yeah, profanity does offend me. I said, did I use any profanity in talking to you in this whole thread? And he wouldn't answer me on that, you know. And I said, yeah, it does offend me. But I didn't tell him to stop using it. I just told him, you know, I said, real men don't use profanity. And he called me a snowflake. Oh, you're a snowflake because you're offended by profanity. No. I'm a real man that tries to watch and guard my tongue and what I say. And if I'm always going around cussing and swearing, using profanity, I'm more likely to slip up when I'm in a social setting where there's women around. And trust me when I tell you, and my wife can tell you too, that if me and my wife are in a social setting somewhere that's outside of the church, because I don't have to worry about this at church or church functions, about the profanity and swearing, but if we're in a social setting out in the public, and some guy is swearing like a sailor, I'm going to let him know that I'm displeased with that because you're swearing in front of my wife. I'm going to let him know I'm displeased about that. A real man does that. You know, a real man stands up for his wife because my wife doesn't need to hear that stuff. She knows all the swear words too, just like I do. But she doesn't use them and I don't use them. Especially in polite society. And if you have a problem with that, you're the snowflake, not me. If you can't put your words together in a sentence without using profanity, then I don't think you're that intelligent. I'm sorry, I don't care what the studies say. I just don't think you're that intelligent because an intelligent man would control his tongue. That's what an intelligent man does. And a godly man, too, controls his tongue. So let's get into it here. I know I restarted this video, so it's going to be... I have to go back in and edit the first part of this to get to the voices and everything. I do apologize, folks. I really, really do. All right. Hey, do you guys have a blog, or do you have something you want to sell, or do you have a podcast or a video show like I have, and you need a web presence beyond that? You need a landing page where you can put other articles up or host all your podcasts. And links to your videos and articles and stuff like that. Bluehost. They are the official hosting service of the Dan Clement Show. And they're also an affiliate marketing partner with me. If you go to thedanclementshow.com and click on the Bluehost widget in the middle of the play, the ad, it'll take you over to Bluehost and you'll get deep discounts. They're very inexpensive for monthly. If you want to pay monthly or yearly or whatever. Very inexpensive company to deal with. And you get... 24/7 support, you get one-click WordPress downloads, you get free themes. And I won't say the sky's the limit, but folks, it's as easy as falling off the log to start up a website over at Bluehost. And Bluehost is one of these websites that gives you a little bit of control over your website. But if you have an issue, they also will help you too. So it's not one of these pre-made websites you have no control over how they do things. But neither is it one you have to program everything. So I think Bluehost has the best of both worlds, especially when they're WordPress-ready website. And WordPress is fantastic with their plugins. Like I said, I have my podcast. I moved all my podcast archives over to Seriously Simple Podcasting by Casto, and it's fantastic. The engineers moved them over. I paid my fee. They moved everything over. Everything's working great over there. And I'm continually putting new podcasts, new audio over there. And it's just fantastic, folks. So if you want a web presence, you want to do it right, and you like what you hear on this show and you like what I'm doing, please go over to danclementshow.com and click on the Bluehost ad in the middle of the page, and it'll take you right over to the site, folks. It's just that easy, and sign-up's easy. If you don't have a domain, you can get your domains through them and everything. They actually helped me bring a domain over. That I was trying to get over from another hosting service. So I just can't say enough about them. But if I droll on too much longer, you might get bored with what I'm saying. Today's daily Bible reading comes out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. Not made with things that are visible. I'll get this out. A little combubrated there. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And chapter 11 and 12 of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament goes through and explains exactly what faith is. Too many folks in the denominational world have a misunderstanding of what faith is. They think it's some mystical thing that just sort of falls down on you and you have faith in God, and it's not. Verse 1 tells you exactly what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Our hope is heaven. Our hope is to one day live eternity with God in heaven. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. God gives more than enough evidence, overwhelming amount of evidence in His Word, that He is who He is and that He is a keeper of His promises to mankind. That's what faith is. Faith is based on objective truths. It's not some subjective feeling that you have. Today's quote mail comes from Miguel de Cervantes, if I have that right. Truth indeed rather alleviates than hurts, and will always bear up against falsehood as oil does above water. That is absolutely true. And the one thing about falsehoods that I want to say is falsehoods will make it around the world twice before the truth even gets out of the stall. But in the end, the truth always wins out. And that's why if you ever get into commentating on politics and stuff like that, that is, especially if you're a conservative, that's going to frustrate you to no end, because it's like you have to work twice as hard to debunk the falsehoods that are coming out of the regressive left in this country or around the world. But it's worth it. It's a worthwhile endeavor, folks. Today's short Bible lesson, and please do not shoot the messenger, and I'm going to caution you, if you come back and complain to me about me sharing this on the danclementshow.com and any type of comments, and you didn't read the full article, shame on you. I'm going to hold that against you. If you did not read the whole article, and the name of the article is No, I Don't Want an Empowered Daughter. This is by Brad Harab. He's a PhD over at focuspress.org. And it's not what you think when he says about this. And just think, real quick, I'm not even going to read it to you, but just keep this in mind. Think, when you think about empowerment, think about secular humanism first as you read through this article. But like I said, if you didn't read this article and you come back and you complain to me, I ain't going to listen to you. Sorry. You go back and read the article first. And make sure you read it to understand it, not just, well, I skimmed over and read it. No. Read to understand. Read to understand. Okay. Let me make sure I got everything. All right. Everything set up over here. Boy, I'm telling you what. This is going to get good, folks. It really is. If you haven't been following the news, this is from ProjectVeritas.com. Senior network security engineer reveals Twitter really ready to give Trump's private direct messages to DOJ. Now, basically, what they're talking about here, and I got to get over here. I thought I had this done. I guess I didn't do it. I didn't bring my show notes down. But basically, undercover video of Twitter engineer Clay Haynes saying, we're more than happy to help the DOJ with their little investigation. Content disclosed to the DOJ includes even the ones he deleted, any direct messages. Engineer is self-proclaimed bleeding heart liberal, stating it came with the territory at Twitter. goes on to explain additional big brotherish practices over at Twitter. And folks, this is a problem. This is a huge problem, folks. Again, Twitter is, just like YouTube and Facebook, is part of the town square. And the reason why this is so bad is that they are clamping down on free speech in the town square, for better, for worse. And I think, and this is always what happens with technology, the laws always lag behind technology. They always do. And that's a shame that they always lag behind technology. But the laws have to catch up to these folks. They really, really do. They need to catch up with all these people. A Project Veritas undercover investigation has revealed a senior network security engineer at Twitter stating that his company is more than happy to turn over the private communications and deleted tweets of President Donald Trump to the Department of Justice. If true, it is yet unknown whether Twitter is voluntarily disclosing the sensitive information or acting under court order. And this is, I told you I was skimming over these because I was watching the video and not actually reading this yet. And I just skimmed over this. And this is what's unclear. So we got this confirmation here in the reading. Twitter's currently in the midst of defending itself from left-leaning criticism that President Trump hasn't been removed from the enormous media platform for violations of Twitter's terms of service. According to his LinkedIn profile, Clay Haynes has been employed by Twitter since September 2016. On January 3rd, 2018, he met with Project Veritas undercover journalist at Stookie's Club Moderate in San Francisco using a hidden video camera. The Veritas UCJ captures Haynes stating that we're more than happy to help the DOJ with their little investigation of President Trump. Now, I'm going to stop the reading there. And we're going to show you this this video. We're going to go over and I'm going to show you. It's not a whole video. It's just the first couple minutes of the video and leads into Mr. O'Keefe's introduction to the video. So this is American Pravda part one of the video.
So you're not a Trump lover?
No. We're more than happy to help the Department of Justice in their little investigation.
Okay.
So,
like how?
Basically, give him every single tweet that he's posted.
Okay.
Even the ones he's deleted.
Okay.
Any direct messages.
Good.
Any mentions. Oh, yeah. I don't like being part of the machine that is contributing to America's downfall.
You should look at junior and senior and see what's in there. You know what I mean?
We can absolutely look at every single message, every single tweet, whatever you logged into, what mm-hmm. profile pictures you uploaded, what profile pictures that you thought you were going to do.
Are you working with DOJ currently on that? Do you have access to DMs at Twitter?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, it's better to see what he's saying than being able to correct it, speak up against it.
I could go and change like Trump's tweets. My kind of job required like football.
We're more than happy to help the Department of Justice in their little investigation. Basically, give him every single tweet that he's posted.
Okay.
Even the ones he's deleted.
Okay.
Any direct messages.
Good.
Any mentions. Oh, yeah.
No, these are like private messages.
Both private and public messages.
Like people DMs too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Veritas believes in the power of free people. If they're just given information, if they're given the truth, they'll make the right decisions.
So we're putting on the disguise for tonight's meeting.
Play. In our continuing American Pravda series, we shift our focus from mainstream media to social media. Twitter likes to call itself the global town square, but in reality, they want to control thought, ideas, and even our political system itself. But don't take my word for it. Watch Twitter employees admit some very ugly truths about the way they run their global town square. It should make you rethink the way you see the world. And this is just part one.
All right, folks, that is just part one. And that's only the first couple minutes of the video. I'm not going to spoil it for them. I have links up in the show notes page at thedanclementshow.com that actually go to that those YouTube videos. They have videos on their website, and you go to projectveritas.com and you watch them on there. But I gave you off their YouTube site. It was just because I was over there. It was easier. So we have this Mr. Haynes. And then I'm not sure if he was the one talking, because like I said, go watch the video, but you know, I showed you they sort of had a couple different people talking there, but there was one guy, and pay attention to this, there was one guy in there that said, we can go in and change his tweets. That's chilling, folks. If Twitter has the ability to go in and change your tweets, I take that to mean they can go in and reword your tweets. That is chilling. And folks, that's, I believe that more than anything is criminal. Whether they're a company or not, you're changing what somebody said. Okay? He goes on down through the article here. Says, when prompted by the UCJ, undercover journalist, that's what that means, folks. You didn't get that. Mr. Haynes provided additional details, basically giving them every single tweet that he's posted, even the ones he deleted, any direct messages, any mentions. He's dangerous. I don't like him, and he's a terrible human being, and I want to get rid of him. The self-described bleeding heart liberal Haynes says in a video about President Trump. In fact, we had internal reviews about that. On January 7, 2018, James O'Keefe himself went undercover with Haynes at Morton Steakhouse in San Francisco to confirm if Twitter was working with the Department of Justice to hand over the Trump tweets and DMs. When pressed about looking at Donald Trump's messages, Haynes explains, we have a subpoena process for that very reason, the conversation continued. James O'Keefe, are you working with the DOJ currently on that? And Haynes says, I can't comment. Even if I knew, I wouldn't comment. The fact is, even if Haynes was just speculating about helping justice, his omission shows a clear and dangerous political bias at the highest levels of Twitter, says Project Veritas founder President James O'Keefe in the video. The question is, by Twitter giving private information about the president to the Justice Department, are they breaking the law, betraying a trust, following an official request, or satisfying a political agenda by leading a crusade against the president? Describing himself as the bouncer of the network, Mr. Haynes also details the level of information Twitter retains in its database about their hundreds of millions of users. Project Veritas Twitter investigation is the fourth installment in the American Pravda series. Okay, so again, I'm going to actually go in and get that part out where they said about they can change the tweets. Let me make a note of this. I've listened to this about 10 times, but I failed to catch that one because probably I was listening to something else in the video, but change the tweets. And I'll have that out, and I might even do a small video on that later today where they can go in and change the tweets. But again, this is, to me, folks, this is very chilling. This is more than chilling. When a company who claims to be the global square, as James O'Keefe or as Mr. Haynes and James, I don't know if Mr. Haynes, but James O'Keefe claims that they are, and I believe they are, just like YouTube and just like Facebook, they're global. And they use people's social lives to enrich themselves. They make money off this stuff. Whether they're profitable at it doesn't matter. They make money off of this. Twitter does, Facebook does, and YouTube does. And if they're doing that and they're relying on the public, like I said, this is a social media that's going on here. And I don't agree with the lawyers, well, they're a private company and do whatever they want. I'm sorry. If you make your living off of people's free speech, what gives you the right, company or not, to censor that free speech? I mean, that's a question I think that needs to be asked and answered. And I think James O'Keefe and them are asking this as well as other people are asking this. And so it's maddening. It is maddening to know that a company's out there like this. And Facebook, something's supposed to roll out over the weekend and be active Monday about banning ads and only showing things in your feed to your folks, and that's it on Facebook. I watched a couple videos, but they didn't really give any other details on it, so I'm going to have to do a little investigating myself on that, and I'll report on that in one of my small videos on Monday. But folks, again, there's another chilling thing, because you got guys like me that rely on advertising, not so much to make money, but to pay $5, $10 for an advertising campaign to reach hundreds and hundreds of people with my show. And I have actually, on my show page, I've gotten quite a few followers just to my show page off of that. Plus, I have a lot of friends and family that, I think last count, and I'm not trying to get famous here, really, I'm not. But at last count, just on my personal Facebook, because of friends of friends and acquaintances and stuff like that, I have over 650 friends on Facebook. Now, I don't know them all. They're not intimate friends, but, they're nonetheless friends on Facebook. We contact and communicate. There's people that ask me questions all the time on my personal feed, and I'm not really sure who they are until I go back and look at their profiles. Okay, but all these things that are happening with YouTube and Facebook and Twitter is a concerted effort, as far as I'm concerned, to silence the conservative voices on social media. They really are. Now, the next one, I'm going to set this next one up here. The next Project Veritas video has to do with, the title of the article is Twitter Engineers to Ban a Way of Thinking Through Shadow Banning Algorithms to Censor Opposing Political Opinions. Now, basically what's happening here is Steve Perry, Twitter engineer, explains shadow banning, says it's going to ban a way of thinking. Former Twitter software engineer Abhinav Vedrivu on shadow banning. They just think that no one is engaging with their content when it really is no one is seeing it. And that's what shadow banning is. You can add content to your Twitter feed all day long, and you just don't think you're getting any engagement. And that's not the case. No one's seeing it. And that's why you're not getting the engagement. Former Twitter content review agent Mo Noray explains banning process. It was, if it was a pro-Trump thing, I'm anti-Trump. I banned the whole account. It's at your discretion. So it's at the reviewer's discretion, okay? When asked if banning process was an unwritten rule, Norai adds, very. A lot of unwritten rules, it was never written, it was more said. Olinda Hassan, policy manager for Twitter, Trust and Safety, explains, we're trying to downrank crappy, I'm going to clean this up, crappy people to not show up. We're working on that right now. Shadow banning to be used stealthily targets political views. Former Twitter engineer says that's a thing. Censorship of certain political viewpoints to be automated via machine learning, according to Twitter software engineer. Parnay Singh, Twitter direct message engineer on machine learning algorithms, you have like 5,000 keywords that describe a redneck. The majority of it are for Republicans. So we have these engineers over at Twitter who are coming out and saying this. Now, here's the video clip. It's another just a little over 2 minute video clip that we have here that I want to show you on this, and let me get this set up real quick here.
We're trying to get the shitty people not show up. It's a product thing.
Let's say it was a pro-Trump thing, and I am anti-Trump. I was like, oh, I banned this whole account. It'll go to you. And then it's at your discretion. And if you're anti-Trump, you're like, oh, you know what? Mo was right. Let it go.
The idea of the shadow ban is that you ban someone, but they don't know they've been banned because they keep posting, but no one sees their content. So they just think that no one's engaging with their content, when in reality, no one's seeing it. I don't know if Twitter does this anymore.
How do you know if it's a bot and not a normal person?
Oh, you use machine learning. Like, you look for a Trump or America, and you have like 5,000 like keywords to describe a redneck. And then you look, and you like parse all the messages, all like the pictures, and then you look for like stuff that matches like that stuff.
So is it gonna like ban certain mindsets and or people who could be negative?
No, it's not gonna ban a mindset. It's gonna ban like a way of talking.
Do you have access to DMs of Twitter?
Oh, I do.
It's a lot of bad press if like, you know, people figure out that you're shadow banning them. It's like unethical or in some way.
We're trying to get the shitty people not show up.
Yeah, they said, oh, this is pro-Trump. You know, I don't want it because, you know, it offends me. That's that. That's it. I ban this whole thing.
I'm pretty sure every single employee at Twitter hates Trump.
What we can do on our side is actually very terrifying.
Our last video exposed Twitter's eagerness to turn over President Trump's direct messages to the Justice Department. We think today's release will help you understand why. Because although Twitter presents itself as politically neutral, its culture behind closed doors is one of blatant censorship, systematic bias, and political targeting. While many suspected this was the case, today we present the proof out of their own Twitter mouths.
All right, folks, that was the second video, okay? And that the second video is just as disturbing as the first video, okay? This San Francisco, in the latest undercover Project Veritas video investigation, current and former Twitter employees are on camera explaining steps the social media giant is taking to censor political content that they don't like. The video release follows the first undercover Twitter expose, Project Veritas, released on January 10th, which showed Twitter senior network engineer Clay Haynes saying that Twitter is more than happy to help the Department of Justice with their little President Donald Trump investigation. Twitter responded to the video with a statement shortly after the release stating the individual depicted in this video was speaking in a personal capacity and does not represent this or speak for Twitter. The video released by Project Veritas today features 8 employees, and a Project Veritas spokesman said there was more video featuring additional employees coming. On January 3rd, 2018, at San Francisco restaurant, Abhinav Vadravu, a former Twitter software engineer, explained a strategy called shadow banning that, to his knowledge, Twitter has employed. One strategy is to show or shadow ban so you have unlimited control. The idea of a shadow ban is that you ban someone, but they don't know they've been banned because they keep posting and no one sees their content, so they think no one is engaging with their content when in reality no one is seeing it. Twitter, in the process of automating censorship and banning, says Twitter software engineer Steve Perry on December 8th of 2017, every single conversation is going to be rated by a machine, and the machine is going to say whatever or whether or not it is a positive thing or a negative thing, and whether it's positive or negative doesn't have an audible here. It's more like if somebody is being aggressive or not, right? Somebody just cursing at somebody, whatever, they may have a point, but it'll just vanish. It's not going to ban the mindset. It's going to ban, like, the way of talking. Now, let me stop the reading there. Unless you are a mind-numb robot that regurgitates talking points and narratives, the way people talk is their mindset. These guys are trying to separate this. Oh, we don't want to ban a mindset. We're just going to ban a way of talking. Yes, you are banning a mindset. I'm sorry to tell you. Hate to burst your little liberal bubble there, boy. But you are. Olinda Hussain, a policy manager for Twitter Trust and Safety team, explains on December 15, 2017 at a Twitter holiday party that the development of a system of down-ranking crappy people is in the works. Yeah, that's something we're working on. It's something we're working on. We're trying to get the crappy people not to show up. It's a product thing we're working on right now. Former Twitter engineer Conrado Miranda confirms on December 1st, 2017, that tools are already in place to censor pro-Trump or conservative content on the platform. When asked whether or not these capabilities exist, Miranda says, that's a thing. In a conversation with former Twitter content review agent Mo Norai on May 16, 2017, we learned that in the past, Twitter would manually ban or censor pro-Trump or conservative content. When asked about the process of banning accounts, Norai said, on stuff like that, it was more discretion on your viewpoint, I guess how you felt about a particular matter. When asked to clarify if that process was automated, Norai confirmed that it was not. If they said this pro-Trump, I don't want it because it offends me, that or this and that, and I'd say I banned the whole thing, and it goes over here, and they are like, oh, you know what? I don't like it too. And you know what? Mo's right. Let's go and carry on. What's next? Norai also revealed that more left-leaning content would go through their selection process with less political scrutiny. It would come through, check, and then I would like, oh, you know what? This is okay. Let it go. Norai explains that this selection process wasn't exactly Twitter policy, but rather they were following unwritten rules from the top. Now, let me stop reading here. The reason why they didn't have these written down is because there's plausible deniability on Twitter. Well, we never said that. Prove where we said that. Now, it would be these folks' words against Twitter, but there's too many. If you watch both these videos and other videos that they've done, and they said there's more videos coming out on this, I don't know how many parts he's going to have to this. It doesn't look good for Twitter. There's going to be a mountain of evidence that people are confessing this stuff. You know, it wasn't written down, but it was said. And folks, again, that's very dangerous. That's a very dangerous way to operate your business. It really is. Because honestly, I don't see how they can be protected just because they're a company. You know, and hopefully we're going to get a wisecracking lawyer out there that knows better and that's got bulldog tenacity and is going to go after these guys at Twitter, and Facebook, and YouTube. Because if they go after one and they win the case, it's going to affect the other two. It really is. A lot of unwritten rules, and being that we're in San Francisco, we're in California, very liberal, a very blue state, you had to be, I mean, as a company, you can't really say it because it would make you look bad, but behind closed doors are a lot of rules. There was, I would say, Twitter was probably 90 to 99% anti-Trump. At a San Francisco bar on January 5th, Perrine Singh details how the shadow banning algorithms targeting right-leaning are engineered. Yeah, you look for Trump or America, and you have like 5,000 keywords to describe a redneck. Then you look and parse all the messages, all the pictures, and then look for stuff that matches that stuff. When asked if the majority of the algorithms are targeted against conservatives or liberal users of Twitter, Singh says, I would say the majority are for Republicans. Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe believes the power over speech Silicon Valley tech giants has is unprecedented and dangerous. What kind of world do we live in where computer engineers are the gatekeepers of the way people talk? The investigation brings forth information of profound public importance that educates people about how free they really are to express their views online. Project Veritas plans to release more undercover video from within Twitter in the coming days. And he's got a book out, American Pravda, that you can pre-order. I just seen that down at the bottom there. So again, folks, I can't stress this enough. This is very dangerous that we have a couple tech giants and their engineers out there that are the gatekeepers on these social media sites that rely on social media, us, that rely on society to be who they are. I don't think that's a hard concept to understand, and honestly, whether they're companies or not, whether they're corporations or not, doesn't negate that fact that they make billions of dollars every year off of society interacting with each other on their platforms. And I'll bet you a dollar dozen donuts, if someone really goes in there and starts doing some investigating, if we're allowed to get some records off of Twitter, that a lot of the banned stuff that they banned was not for community, violations of their community service regulations. A lot of them is just going to be political. I get it all the time on Facebook, folks. I get it all the time on Facebook. These mad hatters out there in the regressive left, they're all like this. They got it in their head. And I've talked about this until I'm blue in the face, and I'm going to keep talking about it. Good, you done spitting on me too? Old Cheech and Chong. I digress. I've talked about this in the past, about this regressive think that somebody came out in their echo chamber and screamed often enough and loud enough, Trump has to go, Trump is a bad person, Trump's this, Trump's that, in that echo chamber. And in an echo chamber, if you don't know, one of the neatest things, go to a high-rise building, a hospital with more than a couple floors. Instead of taking the elevator, take the staircase down. They don't do a lot of sound dampening in the staircases, and it echoes pretty good. Or you ever go to a canyon, something like that, someplace where your voice will echo off of something, or in a room, in an unfinished room, with no carpeting, drywall, no sound-absorbing things anywhere, and your voice echoes and carries in there. And imagine you take a room, a 20 by 20 room, and you put... let's say you put 20 people in there. Each person has 400. You know, each person has a certain amount of space. I'm not, it's more than a foot. I'm not going to sit here and do the math. You do the math. It's a 400 square feet, a 20 square feet, not cubic feet, square feet on the floor. So everybody's got like 20 square feet. Okay? And everybody's got 20 square feet in there. So you got 20 people in the room. If it figures out, don't worry about the math. I'm getting to a different point here. And they're all talking at the same time. You don't understand each other if they're all talking different things. However, if you have a couple leaders in there that are getting the herd to go the direction they want to go in this echo chamber, and they're all saying the same thing, eventually everybody in the echo chamber is going to be saying the same thing, and that's all you're getting is just this echo of the same thing over and over and over again. And anything outside that echo room that tries to come in and interrupt that or disrupt that with another idea, especially something that goes against what they're trying to talk to the folks about or trying to promote in the echo chamber, is dismissed out of hand without investigation, for the most part. Now, there are some regressives on the left that do some investigations. However, they also let their bias, they have bias confirmation, they let that play too much of a role. I've talked to some very intelligent speaking or sounding folks online, and I'm just going to pick on the Huffington Post because they're the worst offender of this, and they'll point out a Huffington Post article, and they'll say, well, this is well-researched, and they'll give you the other links to it, and they're just links to other Huffington Post articles, and any links in there are usually to another Huffington Post article. I haven't personally come across a Huffington Post article that linked to anything outside of itself. And that's a problem. That's an echo chamber. And I look at, and I don't know why I have to say this, and people won't take my word for this, that I'm diverse in my viewpoint as far as what I look at. You know, I look at, and it pains me to look at some of these, Daily Kos, Slate, Salon, Huffington Post, Mother Jones, and there's some other, and I have them bookmarked on my toolbar. I go through and peruse and see what they're saying about certain subjects, and every now and then, even the Huffington Post, even every now and then, gets an article right, factually. And this is what the regressives on the left can't understand. They're in this echo chamber. They've got the same thing rolling around, impeach Trump. Trump's a orange-haired or orange-skinned orangutan. You know, yada, yada. Trump's going to blow up the world. My button's bigger than you. This, all this echo stuff around in there, and it's all subjective. It's all subjective, and they will not let any objective truth get in their echo chamber because it'll stop the echo. It'll stop the echo. It's like bringing sound dampening stuff in there or partitions in there, and you partition off those 20 people, it's going to be harder for that echo to get around. They don't want that. They want the herd mentality. This gentleman that I've been discussing things with this week on Facebook, he is of a herd mentality, the mob rule. And that's exactly what he wants. He discounts the Constitution, says it's a document that's long outlived its usefulness. We cannot make laws and have to obey the Constitution at the same time because there's people's needs. And he doesn't understand. I tried to talk to him. I said, it's okay for the federal government to govern over the enumerated powers the states gave to the federal government when they created the federal government. And I know he missed that because I've had other liberals tell me, other regressives after tell me, that the states didn't create the federal government. They would be wrong, but there's a lot of people out there think that, and I think he missed that point in there, or he just slammed me on that point. The states created the federal government. The purpose for the Constitution was to create a limited government, so therefore anything in any phrases, any clauses, anything in the Constitution itself is limiting in nature also. You know, a lot of times regressives point to the welfare clause. Well, that means, you know, the general welfare for the people. That's not what it means. And even if it was, it's inside a limiting document. You've got to keep things in context. Context is king. So it can't mean, if it's a limiting document, the welfare clause cannot mean an overexpanding government. The commerce clause, the same way, cannot mean, you can, through the commerce clause, you can regulate anything you want. You know, the government can be as big as it wants because we're using the commerce clause. You're taking the commerce clause out of its context, out of the Constitution that is a limiting document. And see, they don't get this type of thing. And so when we talk about things like this, free speech, you know, protection, you know, our rights are being protected. Some of these folks that I've talked to on the regressive left believe that our rights come from government. And I point them back to the Declaration of Independence and Thomas Jefferson as part of the Committee of Five. They got this right, that our rights come from God. Oh, that's the Declaration of Independence. It has nothing to do with the Constitution. Excuse me? The Declaration of Independence is the spirit of the Constitution. But again, they live in an echo chamber. If you try to get those facts in there, it doesn't jive. It doesn't jive with them. Anything you do in our humanist society today, in humanist society, even in the ethical humanist societies, government is God. There's nothing above God, government. Now, they may claim that they believe in God, but they don't. They actually refer to government more than they do God. They would rather the government do these things rather than Christians who are following Christian principles do charity and stuff like that for the country. So whenever you hear humanists, just think government's God, and you got them pegged. So anything that anybody wants to do to take power away from government, you're taking power away from their God. Oh, you can't do that. That's sacrilegious. How dare you? And then the swearing comes out, the name calling comes out, the incoherent rants come out. And if you're trying to have a conversation with these folks, I don't let them knock me off my game as I used to. I stick with my points. I keep hammering away at my points. I'm like a bulldog when it comes to this. And eventually, they get tired and give up. The post has really slowed down. And not that I have quit posting, but when I see something I need to respond to, I post. And that makes them mad because they're like, well, this guy cannot be hanging on this long. There's no way. And I'm sorry. I mean, you have to defend freedom. You have to defend liberty. You have to defend objective truths and facts. You have to break into these echo chambers, because if you don't, then the whole country is going to become an echo chamber and we're lost. And we're lost. And this is exactly what's happening to Twitter, since we're dealing with Twitter today. They're becoming an echo chamber, and it's engineered. It's engineered, folks. This is what they want. They don't want. They don't want conservatives in there. Now, let me say something here. I got other articles I want to get to, but they're going to be more in passing instead of... I want to get to the DACA real quick here, but that's going to be real quick. I just want to say this, that I am on Minds.com. I showed everybody on YouTube my little social media picture there, slide. I'm on Minds.com. That's like a Facebook challenger that has some Twitter features to it. Okay, but it's more like Facebook because I'm diversified. Because I don't trust Facebook. Because if something happens to Facebook, I get kicked off. At least I got something started somewhere else. Now, to have my friends from Facebook to come over and follow me on Minds is going to be a hard sell because they're used to Facebook. And some people aren't political on Facebook, so it doesn't. What happens to the politicians or politicos like me doesn't really matter to them. So I'm on Minds, okay? And I'm also on Gab AI. Both of these are free speech platforms. Let me caution the Christians out there. You're going to find some objectionable material on both of these sites. You can block it out. Don't be snowflakes. Be big boys and girls, because you live in the world. You can't be taken out of the world. You live in the world. But it doesn't mean you need to be looking at everything the world has to offer. So you can actually block things that you don't want to see. But both of these are free speech platforms, folks. Both of these, Minds and Gab AI, are free speech platforms. And what's happened, and this is so great, what's happened is conservatives have been flocking to Minds and Gab. And I've noticed also the BitChute. Conservatives, libertarians, constitutionalists like myself have been flocking to these other sites. We didn't abandon Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, but we're also set up on these other three sites as a backup. And the thing you'll notice, and this is what's so great about it, whenever regressive liberals have control of a platform, they want to kick off anybody that doesn't agree with them. And then look at what happens to the platform. Eventually, and it may come sooner than later. We don't know how quick this is going to happen. We don't know where the tipping point is when people just get fed up with like Twitter and Facebook and they start looking for another alternative that allow them to say what they want to say without getting censored. But there's going to come a point where, and I don't, like I said, with Facebook, I don't know when it's going to be. With Twitter, YouTube, I don't know when it's going to be. But if they keep going the way they're going and disallowing the conservative voices, all they're going to become is echo chambers. And even the people that are still trying to hold on that aren't real politicos are going to get tired of that. They're going to be like, we're out of here. And so where liberals control social media, they actually kick out a lot of people. Now, there was something, hang on real quick here. I just want to get over here on Gab. I don't want to show this on my main, on the production feed, because there's going to be names involved with this. But there's, somebody put it way better than I did. Let's see here. Let's get over my profile. And I share, anybody that follows me on Twitter and Facebook, I share any stories I'm researching, I share them on Twitter and Facebook, but I also go over and share them on Minds and Gab AI also. So let me see here. Well, someone made a comment here. Since Twitter is shadow banning people they don't politically or religiously agree with, isn't that the same as businesses not wanting to bake a cake or furnish flowers for non-traditional weddings? And we heard the case was just heard not too long ago, the Supreme Court. We'll probably get the ruling here in June or a couple months anyway about the cake makers. Is this the same or not? I'm asking the question. I'm asking you a question. Is that the same or not? And here's what I want to get to, and this is a sentiment I wholeheartedly agree with. The left cannot survive if the right is allowed to speak. The left cannot survive if the right is allowed to speak unfettered, whereas the right thrives if the left is allowed to speak freely. Do you agree with that? The left cannot survive if the right is allowed to speak unfettered, whereas the right thrives if the left allows them to speak freely. Now, I'm going to warn you, when you get on these, on Minds and you get on Gab, there's atheists on there. Not so much, and to me, alt-right is a very subjective term. I haven't seen any of the, like the skinhead alt-right, you know, folks on there that much. And the ones I have, I don't even look them. If I see them in the news feed or something like that, I just get rid of them out of my news feed. I got them blocked. Don't want to see the garbage. Okay, not that I'm trying to live in an echo chamber. I just don't want to see that. But I've noticed on Minds and Gab that there's very few liberals there. And the liberals that are there, they're not being kicked off. They're not being prosecuted or persecuted. Now, are they being engaged? Absolutely. You're on social media. You're putting your ideas out there in the marketplace of ideas, and they're being kicked around. And I think that's a good thing. I wholeheartedly believe in that. But you're going to see if Facebook and Twitter and YouTube kick all the conservatives off their sites, it's going to ruin their sites. And then people are really just going to quit watching them. They're going to be leaving in droves. And I'm not saying they could never get them back, but it's going to be very hard for them to get them back. It really is. And this is why I believe that Gab and Minds are in the running to replace. They're direct competition to these. Matter of fact, Gab was in the Android store. It still is in the Android store, but Google Play kicked it out of their app store. Even though they had the money, even though Gab AI raised the money to pay to have it in the store, Google Play won't allow it in the store. Now, I got mine on my, I have Gab on my smartphone, and I got it on there before Google Play kicked them out, and it still works. If you got it on your smartphone, they won't take it away from you. I don't think you can get updates on it, though, which is a shame, which is truly a shame, because they don't want any competition. Silicon Valley does not want competition for their ideas. Regressive leftists do not want competition for the hearts, souls, and minds of the American people. And that's why I have folks over on Facebook and everything that are just, that rail against me, that want to try to frighten me away. Call me all sorts of names in the book, profane names that I won't use on here. Calling me, the biggest thing that I have to laugh at is being called a snowflake. Like John Wayne, I've been called many a thing in my life, but snowflake ain't one of them. You know, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything like that, but I'm not a weeping willow out there or anything like that. I consider myself to be a man. I consider myself to have strong personal views. I won't allow anybody to lay hand on me. You know, and I'm not going to lay hand on somebody else, and I don't allow it for me. If that sounds familiar, John Wayne said it. You know, I live by the non-aggression principle. I want to live my life without regressive liberals and leftists out there interfering in my life. And I want other people to have the same freedom and liberties as I have, as long as they're not aggressing against somebody else, you know, violently, physically, or stealing from them. I don't care how they live their lives. If they want to smoke pot for the rest of their lives, have at it. Just don't expect me to pay for your rehab, and don't expect for me to pay for your family if you can't make a living because you chose to smoke pot or do drugs. You know, honestly, you almost have to lay the law down with some of these folks because they don't understand what the non-aggression principle means. When you do something in your life that, on purpose, that causes you to be incapacitated and not support your family, and you have to go on welfare, you're taking from everybody else in society to do that because of a dumb and stupid decision you made. I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, showing off on your motorcycle, showing off in your car and you get in an accident. Doesn't matter. If you went out and did dumb and stupid, you need to be responsible for that. Now, I'm not saying you should never get help, but, you know, it should come from your community and from your church or your family. You know, and I hate to see the burden be put on them, too, because that's a type of theft. Now, someone, you know, if someone gets on drugs or gets hooked on alcohol, becomes addicted to either one and wants to get off and say, look, I made bad mistakes in my life. I need to get cleaned up. I'll help them till the cows come home and then some to get cleaned up and get their life on track. I'll help them any way I can. But if you continue to want to do dumb and stupid, don't expect me to pay for it. Don't expect society to pay for it either. Honestly, even if it destroys your family, I'll help. If it's a guy, I'll help your wife and your daughter. I'll see if the church can help them, the community can help them to get standing on their own 2 feet outside of your help or lack of help. But to help you directly when you do dumb and stupid and don't want to change, that's like throwing pearls to the swine. Am I cold-hearted when I say that? No. I'm a realist. Actions have consequences, good and bad. Good actions have good consequences, sometimes bad consequences, but mostly good. And dumb and stupid have dumb and stupid consequences that they have to pay. And Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, they keep doing dumb and stupid like they are, and they're being very stupid in doing this, especially Twitter, what they're doing here. They're being very stupid. They're not going to last very long. People are going to get to the point that they're going to get fed up. I know I'm rehashing this, but I got to say this. I can't say it enough. They're going to get to the point where they're going to be so fed up that they're going to leave Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube in droves. And then what's Google going to have if YouTube goes under? What's Facebook? And Facebook's a standalone. What's Facebook going to do if they lose hundreds of millions of people on Facebook that flee to another platform? Something that's going to allow them the freedom to say whatever they want. Now, are some of them going to suffer a consequence of the community that's on there? Some may, yeah. Especially if they get offensive or abusive or something like that. First, there's terms of service on Gab and Minds, and they're similar to Facebook and Twitter. But they only kick people off who violate the terms of service, not because of their political views. Not like Twitter seems to be doing. It's just, this country has been in the death grip of regressives since the early 1900s. And we're just now starting to see that Americans are waking up to this fact, and that these Americans are like, man, what did we do? What in the world did we do allowing the government to have this much power, allowing these regressives out there in this country to have this much power over our lives? And there's going to be a silent revolt that goes on, and when it happens, the regressives out there aren't going to see it coming. The government's not going to see it coming. I don't think it's going to be a bloody revolt. I really don't, folks. I think it's going to be an intellectual awakening, and they're not going to see it coming. And when it happens, they're going to be flat on their backs looking up at conservatives like, what happened? We were in control. What did we do wrong? What happened? And only then will they realize that their way isn't the right way. Their way is the highway, and that's where they need to go. Now, I don't spend a lot of time on this. This next one here, let's see here. Now, why did I thought I had that one up here. Hang on a second, folks. I did miss one. Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. That's not it. Okay. I meant to go to another one, but anyway. This story here is by, it's from the immigrationreform.com. And it's a, Democrats muddy the immigration waters with the talk of a clean bill. Now I have this one in there. I have the I have a story from the about the Gang of Six deal on DACA is not serious by Jessica Vaughn over at CIS Center for Institution or Immigration Studies, posted on the 12th today. I have another story. House Republicans chair introduced a DACA bill that also ends chain and lottery and mandates e-verify, and this is by Numbers USA staff, posted on Wednesday the 10th over at Numbers USA. I have another one from Numbers USA by Roy Beck. He's the founder of Numbers USA. Trump's clean amnesty bill statement is the same old failed idea, and I want to touch on that one before we end the show. And then Tucker Carlson, I won't get to this one, but you can go read that. Trump said something that almost every person in America actually agrees with, and he talked about how some of these other countries are real crappy. They're real, I think he should have used the term deplorable than the term he did, and I think, but there are a lot of crappy countries in this world that are just horrible and deplorable. And now Haiti got ripped off by the Clinton Foundation. I don't know what these other countries' excuses are besides they just have dictators that need to go. But there are a lot of countries around the world that are like that. So you can go read that. That link will be up on the show notes page right after the show. But I want to get to this, these two here. This one about Democrats muddy up the waters with clean bill talk. And then this other one about the amnesty bill statement by Roy Beck. Now, this one is by Jennifer Hickey. The Trump administration was left scrambling following Tuesday's bipartisan meeting on immigration when President Trump seemed to sign on to Senator Dianne Feinstein's proposal to pass clean deferred action for childhood arrivals bill now with a promise of border security down the road. And now this is where Roy Beck's going to pick this up, okay? White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders told reporters during her briefing that he embraced a clean bill if you look at what the president's definition of a clean DACA bill is. Later in the meeting, Trump himself made clear that a clean DACA bill, to me, is a DACA bill where we take care of the 800,000 people, he said. We take care of them, and we also take care of security. That's very important. The confusion is understandable, particularly when you consider that no actual DACA bill exists. Okay, and that's where the House Republican chairs introduce a DACA bill on the 10th. So, and this article I'm talking about here was written on the 10th also. So this was, it's all happening at the same time. Okay. On the other hand, there is a new variation of the DREAM Act, a measure to grant amnesty to more than 2 million young alien or illegal aliens. For months, open border lawmakers and special interest groups have intentionally conflated the legislative extension of DACA with the mass amnesty proposed under the DREAM Act. The DREAM Act is actually what Feinstein, a former supporter of the border fence, was referencing. The linguistic sleight of hand is a marketing tool designed to get broad-based support for their even broader amnesty goals. Let's be clear. Neither the proposals offered by Democrats to fix DACA nor the DREAM Act itself have a border security component. These are all open border, folks. The DREAM Act, on the other hand, is a bill that has failed to gain enough support to pass for more than two decades and would grant amnesty to the DACA beneficiaries and approximately 3 million more illegal aliens. It also would increase the federal budget deficit by $26 billion over the next decade, according to the Congressional Budget Office. So what clean means inside the marble halls of Capitol Hill is amnesty and no border security. Why would Democrats be pushing so hard not to protect the border? Because protecting their electoral future is paramount, if a memo from longtime Democrat Party advisors is any indication. At that point, Latinos may not be the only constituency within the Democratic base that because despite and that becomes a dispirited and disengaged. If Democrats don't try to do everything in their power to defend Dreamers, that will jeopardize Democrats' electoral chances in 2018 and beyond. In short, the next few weeks will tell us a lot about the Democrat Party and its long-term electoral prospects, wrote former Obama and Hillary Clinton spokesperson Jennifer Palmieri, argued in January 8 memo to interested parties. So what they're trying to, the Democrats are trying to muddy up this water, right? And they're trying to get a DREAM Act through without border security. Now, and Roy Beck, and I've been following this guy since 2007, 2008, maybe it was a little bit later, but I think it was that early for me anyway. He is the founder of NumbersUSA.com, and he's been working, this is all he does. He does immigration stuff, and that's all he studies on, just like Center for Immigration Studies, and also the information or immigration reform, the foundation for, what's that other one? Hang on a second, I'll get over there. Foundation for American Immigration Reform, and that's what that information reform, immigrationreform.com is all about. But this is published 2 days ago on the 9th. Trump's clean amnesty bill statement is the same old failed idea. Now, Trump was making it clear, I went back and read this, Trump was made it clear in that meeting that he wanted both a DACA bill that possibly was amnesty in there, but it could not be without security. We're not going to do the one without the other. Now, that's what I got out of that meeting. Now, Roy Beck may have got something else out of there, and we'll read this. Four pro-reduction members of Congress are included in the bipartisan group of senators and representatives that met with President today about creating a DACA deal. But otherwise, the President was surrounded by champions of amnesties, increased foreign workers, and gutted enforcement. Here are the number... the number USA immigration reduction grades for the attendees. And he goes down, he has a whole chart here. Everybody was at that meeting, and there's only a few of them that actually has some good passing grades. The president made some troubling statements about being willing to pass a clean amnesty bill first and then dealing with other immigration issues later. This is the statement I released to the media. Amnesty now and enforcement reform later arguments always fail. The American people, there have been seven of these amnesties already. They all result in more illegal immigration and continued flooding of U.S. labor markets with millions of illegal immigrants a year. President Trump must hold fast to his compact with American workers to greatly reduce both the illegal and legal competition from mass migration. And this is what President Trump, all about the border wall. He's been touting and touting and touting that. If he, I won't say he's going to be toast, but it's going to damage him pretty bad if he allows this DACA to go through without a border wall guarantee at the same time. Not later, at the same time or even before. And if I were doing it, I know I'm not president, but if I were doing it, I would hold up any DACA legislation until after I had the financing and the okay from Congress to get the border built, the border wall built. If I was president, I'd say, I'm not signing anything until you, in writing, in law, give me the power to build the wall. Hold it for blackmail, if you want to call it that. That's the only way the wall is going to get built. If we do what's been done seven times before, amnesty and then never get around to securing the borders, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's like closing the gate after the cows get out. You know, the cows are still out. Oh, I got the gate closed. You know, it never made sense to me on that. Just never, ever, ever. Now, the House Republican chairs introduced DACA bill, and this is a story over at Numbers USA, published on the January 10th also on Wednesday. Four House Republicans introduced legislation today to grant amnesty to DACA recipients while adding or addressing all the President Trump's demands. The Securing America's Future Act, introduced by House Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlady, House Immigration Subcommittee Chairman Raul Labrador, House Homeland Security Chairman Michael McCaul, and House Border Subcommittee Chairwoman Martha McSally, would end chain migration and the visa lottery, make E-Verify mandatory for all employees, and beef up both interior enforcement and border security. So there's a bill. I'm not going to go down through this whole thing. I'm running out of time here on how long this video is going to go. But again, I skimmed through this, and it doesn't have a lot to say. I know it says about border security, but what that means different things to different folks. When I think border security, I'm thinking the Great Wall of China. And when I bring this argument up to the regressive left, they tell me, well, that's Mexico. That's Mexico. Look, go Google it. Go DuckDuckGo. I use DuckDuckGo. Don't use Google anymore. Because DuckDuckGo doesn't sell my search results to anybody. I know that ticks Google off no end. And there's a lot of people using DuckDuckGo. But anyway, I digress. That's just my search engine. Go and research this and find pictures of Mexico's southern wall. It looks like they're trying to keep King Kong out. And Mexico doesn't mess around with illegal immigrants. They ship them right back to their countries. So Mexico is actually being pretty hypocritical here, because they don't want the Mexican immigrants back in their country. Fox, the former president, and the Caldera, I think that's who's the president now down in Mexico, they don't want those illegal aliens back. Because they're using North America, they're using the United States as a safety valve. Because if they have them down there, they're going to have to deal with them. They're going to have to deal with them if they're still in Mexico. And that's just a sad truth. And so we need a border wall just as much as Mexico needs a southern border wall. And I don't think anybody, well, not that I know of anyway, not to my knowledge, anybody complained about Mexico having a southern border wall that protects our southern border and the way they deal with immigrants, they get them out of the country. I don't think anybody's complained about that, at least not to my knowledge. But we have too many of these open border folks that are in the regressive left and in the Libertarian Party. And this is where I disagree with libertarians, and I haven't read or been argued with on a good point of why we have open borders, other than that most libertarians are anti-statist to begin with and don't believe we should have the state, the government should exist. And to me, that's ludicrous, and it goes too far, because you're going to have some vestiges of government to take care of certain things. Now, they have solutions, they have free market solutions and everything, but I'm still not sold on all of them working, like a free market military or a free market court system. I don't know. Maybe they can. You know, it's something that, you know, it needs to be seen. It needs to be put in practice to see if it actually works. But for right now, we're stuck with what we have. Let's do the best we can with what we have. And the best we can would be to put a border wall up down there. We're not trying to keep people in the country. We're trying to keep people out of the country and have a sane immigration policy at the same time. Get rid of the chain immigration and get rid of the visa lotteries and actually do some research and background checks on these people who are coming in the country. You know, instead of being and this may sound uncaring. I don't mean it to come across this way, but we do not need the dregs of the world coming into this country. We have enough problems with people in our country already. We don't need to import them. We don't need to import jihadists. We don't need to import people or refugees from those jihadi countries. Because all they want to do is come here and change the country into something that they just left. That's no different than, and you can talk to my brother Tim out in Washington. That's no different from Californians coming up there to Washington State or Idaho or something like that, trying to get away from the bureaucracies down there, and then voting in the same bureaucracies they ran from in California. It makes no sense whatsoever. So these open borders, these open border people, I just don't get them. I don't understand them. They make no sense in their arguments. Their arguments are not logical. They may think they are, but they come from a standpoint where, you know, we don't want government to begin with, so if we don't have government, we don't have to worry about the borders. Well, that's a pretty narrow way of looking at things, especially when you have, I think, smarter guys than us like Madison that said if men were angels, we wouldn't need government. But they also understood we need a limited government. What we have today is not a limited government. And my new Facebook antagonist would argue that we don't have enough government to do the things that need to be done. We don't have enough government to do his charity work. We don't have enough government to do all the welfare work that he wants done throughout the whole world. We don't. And we need to get there. We need to get more government to do that because the private sector just can't do it. And I almost shared with him, but I didn't want his head to explode. Pocahontas was complaining about Puerto Rico, Senator Warren, out of Massachusetts, Pocahontas. She's complaining about down in Puerto Rico that the private sector relief agencies, and I support one of them, the Church of Christ, disaster relief through my congregations at my home congregation. We support them. And she was complaining that the private sector disaster relief organizations were doing a better job in getting away of FEMA doing their job. So here you have private organizations coming in there and helping out the people of Puerto Rico, doing a better job than that, because what's happening, and I briefly read it, and like I said, to me it wasn't a big story, maybe I should share it, but Elizabeth Warren was complaining that FEMA wasn't getting the responses that they thought they should, and the reason why is because people were being taken care of by these charitable organizations that came down to help. Okay. And that's for my Facebook antagonist there. Oh, the private sector can't do that. Only federal government can do that. No, I disagree. Only the government can build highways and roads. No, not federal government. And again, there's 28 enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8. And if any laws are being made that are outside the enumerated powers, they're unconstitutional. And the 9th and 10th Amendment comes in and steps in place of that, saying they're unconstitutional, so if they're not in the Constitution, those powers are reserved for the states or the people thereof. And the states have to take care of it. Oh, we can't do that. All reason in the world why we can't do anything, and only one entity, the federal government, that can do it all. And they absolutely can't. That's why we're $20 trillion in operating debt and between $120 and $200 trillion in unfunded liability between Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, and Social Security. Where are they going to get that money from? It's unreal. And honestly, folks, it is most of the time. Most of the time, it's a joy to debate these folks because you can see how frustrated they get when you won't back down off your points. And when you keep giving fact after fact after fact, and the only way they can try to battle against those facts are dismissing them out of hand, saying, oh, these are all right-wing conspiracy websites you're using. You can't trust them. And yet they've never gone and actually seen if they're reporting accurately or not. I mean, they're just so short-sighted. Folks, this has been the Dan Clements Show. I'm your host, Dan Clements, your constitutional warrior. Remember, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Have a great rest of the day, folks. Have a blessed weekend. And remember, on Sunday, attend the Church of God's Choice, not your choice. And we'll see you live next Friday at noon. But look for my videos Monday through Thursday, 2 to 3 videos a day being put out. And the podcast episodes are shorter, 15 to 20 minutes at the most, that are going to be put out every day. So, again, have a great rest of the day, and God bless, and we'll see you next week.